C.S. Lewis said, "If I can find nothing in this world which truly satisfies me, I must conclude that I was made for another world." So think of it. Think of it right now. The best joy that you've had in this life, the longest lasting joy that you have experienced. Go ahead. Christmas morning, come to mind? Well, by the next week, it's just another toy. Vacations, everybody looks forward to vacations. Steak, get to know Dennis if steak. Raising children, moms, is that your best joy? Well, vacations do come to an end. Bellies get full even of steak. Babies grow up and they do not stay in the toddler stage forever. And that's the best we can think of. Or is it? Go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. There's only 66 chapters in this long book. But we have been waiting for over a year to get to Isaiah 65. And in Isaiah 65, get this, he's going to let us peek in to a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation. Isaiah 65, it's a whole new world. He's going to let us peek in on where this whole thing is leading. All of history, all generations, that we're not just a random space rock floating through the universe. We're headed somewhere. This is going somewhere. None of this is meaningless. This place he's going to describe is so unlike the one that we live in that it's almost indescribable. But there is a huge hiccup, okay, when we talk about heaven. There is a huge hiccup that most people miss. It is a detail that is missed at almost every funeral. And it is a detail that's missed when people talk about heaven. And here it is. Heaven is only for people who want God. Is that put too bluntly? Hell is simply for people, eternal souls, that don't want God. That's the difference. If you listen to people talk about heaven at funerals or in a small talk, they will almost never mention Jesus. They will mention everything except Jesus. If you watch Instagram, Instagram is more excited to see their dog in heaven than they are to see Jesus there. Isaiah is going to talk about the new heavens and the new earth, but not without first warning us. Up on the screen, if you don't long to be with God, heaven is not for you. If you don't want Christ, you're not going to want heaven. Isaiah 65. Oh, go ahead and open your Bibles. Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. The Lord says, "I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name." Verse 2, "All day long I open my arms to a rebellious people, but they follow their own evil paths and their own crooked schemes." God is saying, "I'm here. Will you come to me? Do you want me? All day long I hold open my hand and no one comes." But here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing. Most people think they are automatically in to the new heavens and the new earth. And we deceive ourselves because we are religious. If you look at verse 5, look at this. "Yet they say to each other," okay, they have been evil scheming, rebellious people. And look at this, verse 5. "They say to each other, 'Don't get too close to me. You might defile me. I am holier than you.'" And what does God say? These people are a stench in my nostrils, an acrid smell that never goes away. Like, verse 5, I'm holier than you. Make sure that's not your attitude. But we think somehow that if we just stay connected, we just stay associated with an organized religion, that we're going to be okay. We deceive ourselves in religious labels, saying, if I'm just this or that church, I'm safe. Put zero confidence that you are part of Northridge. Only have confidence that you are connected to Christ. Man-made human religion feels holy. It feels pious. It feels devoted. I'm there every week. But do you know Christ? Verse 5 says, if you don't have the real thing, you're just a stench in his nostrils. These people were religious people. Now, there is a difference between true and false religion. Isaiah 58, you can go back and listen to that sermon. I won't repeat it. But this will be very plain one day, who was true and who was false. He will separate the sheep from the goats. Just make sure that you're not trusting in the wrong thing. As a child, my religious actions deceived me. Nobody actually thinks they're not going to make it to heaven. Everybody thinks they're going to make it to heaven. As a child, I used to think, if I just stay in good standings with the church, if I just do the communion, if I just mow their lawn, which I did free of charge, still bitter about that one, get paid to mow grandmas, get paid to mow dads. How about the church? Nope. Well, it's got to count for something. If I just stayed in good standings with the religious leader, if the pastor liked me, and I stayed away from really bad sins, then I'm in. I mean, God will accept my religious efforts. Now, who wants to admit that they actually think that way? But we do. So being a follower of Christ is much more than just trying to avoid the really big sins. It is embracing God. It is delighting in God himself. Does that describe you? Or do you just want what he can give you? We want the gift. We don't really want the giver of the gifts. Do you really love Christ in such a way that you're willing to make him the Lord over your life? Or do you just reach out to him when you need stuff? If you truly love him, he's not just a little icing on the cake after you die. So I start with all that because I don't want you thinking about the new heavens and the new earth if you're not going there. I mean, I feel like a jerk when I preach this, but it is truly loving you. You go to heaven if you want Christ. So here's a question. How often do you think about eternity? I mean, be honest with yourself here. Not give me the Sunday school answer. Jesus. The answer's Jesus. How often do you really think about forever? Is it just on a Sunday? Maybe once a week? Maybe when you go to a funeral? Or does eternity consume your thoughts? Does it dominate your mind? Does it shape how you live right now? Is it what you're living for and what you keep your eyes on? Do you really, truly long to be with Christ? I mean, there's Bible verses where Paul's like, I desire to die and to be with Christ. Because that's far better. Nobody talks like that. He writes, To be away from this body is to be instantly at home with the Lord. And I want that. That's heaven. And so we're going to get into the new heavens and the new earth, but I want to make sure that you're not trusting in the wrong thing. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. Look at this. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. This is God talking. No one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation, and look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. These aren't flippant words. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Now, Isaiah here is going to describe what is finally going to be home for believers. This is too good to be true. A world so unlike this one, this fallen, sin-cursed one we live in, it's hard to imagine it, even for you guys. Verse 17, get this. I'm creating a new heavens and a new earth. No one's going to think about the old one anymore. Imagine that. Being able to forget the horrible things that happened in this sin-cursed world. And then have no memory of it. That's hard to even imagine that, isn't it? My wife brings up stuff that happened 20 years ago. Just wait, babe, we're not there yet. She's in children's ministry. I can say all sorts of stories today. Now look at verse 18. It's a place of happiness. It is impossible for God to lie. You're not going to remember the old one. The new one's going to be so great. It's a place of happiness, a source of joy. He's struggling to describe what is indescribable. So he says in verse 19, there will be no weeping and no crying anymore. Is he blowing smoke here, or is he telling the truth? A world with no more sin. That's where all this is headed. A world with no more sickness or sadness. What's going to be on the news there? Another angel got his wings? Like what? You can't even imagine this world like this, can you? Well, Isaiah 65:20, read this with me carefully. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. What? No longer will adults die before they've lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed will die that young. Now you might say, wait, what? I thought that we lived forever in the new heavens and the new earth. We do. I read over 30 pages on this one verse to figure out what Isaiah was saying. I will spare you. And I have summed it up in one sentence for you. All he's trying to say is death will not take away from us anymore. That's all he's trying to say. Death won't take away from us in the new world, in the new creation. In this sin-cursed world that we currently live in, this is all we know. Isaiah is saying death cuts life off early before it has fully begun. Kids die. Infants die. Not so in that world. I can't wait. And he's saying that death cuts life off before it has fully matured. Tragedies, cancer, accidents, sickness. Not so then. It won't be like that. 1 Corinthians 15:26 plainly says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, here it is, home. God's home is now with his people. He will live with them. They're going to be his people, and God himself will be with them. Next verse. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain. all these things are gone forever. Now, I don't know how you guys don't cling to the Word of God. If God is lying to us, this is the greatest trick in all of history. But if this is true, we ought to be the most joyful people on planet Earth. This is where it's all heading. This is where we're going. And it has no end. Isaiah 65, 24 and 25. I will answer them, this is God talking, before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. Verse 25, the wolf will lie down and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. What? But snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. You are going to have perfect communion with God in the new heavens and the new earth. You're going to have perfect fellowship with him. Do you realize, like, right now, your relationship with Jesus ebbs and flows? You can have seasons where you're like, I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm just Tigger, T-I-double-G-R. And you can have seasons where you're like, where are you, God? Why don't you answer my prayers? Not so then. This is where this is going. He's trying to describe a world unlike this one. You won't have sinful flesh to battle anymore. The worst part of my Christian life is my own sinful flesh. And we leave that behind and we go into the presence of God. 25, the wolf and the lamb get to eat. We don't have a category for a world that doesn't have predators. Wolf and lambs aren't friends on this side of eternity. The one eats the other one. Lions will eat hay. What's the point of that? Was he going to change into cow teeth, like chew its cud? The point is, this world is so unlike anything we have ever experienced. That's what he's trying to describe. It's a poetic way to describe this stuff. I hate snakes. If snakes are there, I don't want to be there. I will have no fear of snakes. No one will be hurt or destroyed. I, the Lord, have spoken. This sin-cursed world is all we've ever known. We can't even fathom a place where we don't have memories of wickedness, where there is no more sin. There is no more weeping. Dennis made me cry today just because of his heart for his unsaved family. So I say this with urgency. If you are not a genuine believer trusting in Christ and nothing else, you will never see this place that Isaiah is talking about. So whatever you have to give up, whatever you have to leave behind, whoever you have to disappoint to cling to Jesus, it will be worth it in the end. Are you willing to do that to get Christ? Let's pray. Your word cannot be broken. You can't make statements that do not come true. And so I'm asking that your church would believe this. I'm asking that people would want you more than the things that you offer. I pray that your word would seep into hearts today and shock them, that we wouldn't spend 16 hours a day in the world and zero listening to you. And I pray that your son would be honored above all things as we celebrate his sacrifice in our place. It's in his name we pray. Amen.